Welcome to Two Guys, a Girl and a Movie Podcast with Adam, Lee and Josie, your hosts, taking an analysis of some beloved movies, both blockbuster and lackluster. Grab a bowl of popcorn and see if their collective score and analysis matches your views. It's time for Two Guys, a Girl and a Movie Podcast.
Yes, it is another episode of Two Guys, a Girl and what?
A Movie Podcast.
My name is Adam.
You're right, Josie?
Yep.
I didn't set that up very well. Your name's Josie.
I'm Lee.
You're Lee.
I'm Josie over here. Thank you so much.
Should we start that again? Should we do that again?
No.
It's not worth it.
We're here to talk about movies, both blockbuster and lackluster, as my friend Bo says in the intro.
Thank you so much, Bo.
Bo is the man. I love his movies too. But anyway.
Does Bo listen?
We'll have to ask him. I think he might do.
Hi, Bo.
I can never be sure.
I remember you made a joke about a Bo once. Did and I? That's what made me lose it.
Did I say a joke about a Bo? Was it any good?
Yeah, so about an arrow and...
I was just about to crack another joke.
That's a shit joke.
Would like to say arrow to Bo.
Okay, that's a little bit funny. Josie just choked on a drink. Anyway, so we're on all forms of social media. Look us up.
I was not expecting that.
At 2GAGPod, 2GAAG. We're on X. We're on Instagram. We're on Facebook as well. Give us a like. Give us a follow. Give us reviews on all podcasting platforms where we are too.
Because Lee's jokes are.
Yep, of course. Roast Lee because he's
so stupid.
It is.
Anyway, today is a very special episode and a first in the podcast history.
This is really exciting.
It really is because today is not a Josie pick.
It is not a me pick.
It's not a Lee pick.
It's not a Lee pick.
And it's not even an Adam pick. What this is our first ever listener pick.
It's so exciting. We got a request.
And dare I say, a big shout out to Nick Opaluski. Now, Nick Opaluski hit us up on our Facebook page, and I really must apologize because he hit us up on the 4th of January.
Wow. That's how long it's been. That's so long.
Nick Opaluski hit us up and asked if we could do a particular movie, and I said, yeah, sure, man, we'll be able to fit it in. And our recording schedule has been
whack.
Pretty dicey at best.
Yeah, that's a fair assumption. Look, before we go any further, though, I do need to address the elephant in the room in regards to the person that's obviously sent the request through, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's secretly your mum with a different profile, isn't it?
You idiot.
Because that's the only person that listens to our pod.
No. This is a complete stranger to all three of us, which is even better that it's our first listener pick.
I love that.
We've had an abundance of people saying, hey, do this movie, which you can do.
Yeah. We would love that.
So far, Nick is the only one.
That means that Josie stops getting blamed for all the shit movies.
Yeah, exactly.
That's true, yes.
But what movie are we doing today, Lee?
We're doing The Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
That's right. From 2011, Rise of the Planet of the Apes, the start of the modern-day Planet of the Apes films, which Nick is a big fan. It's his favourite movie, he told us, to check it out. Where is the... Let me have a look. Hi, I'm Nick. I'm requesting for you to review for me the 2011 movie Rise of the Planet of the Apes and even link me to the movie, which is great. And so this movie came out in 2011. Rupert Wyatt was the director.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, it's based on the very famous Planet of the Apes franchise,
yep.
Which is very long running. Let me go through the brief synopsis. A substance designed to help the brain repair itself and gives advanced intelligence to a chimpanzee who leads an ape uprising.
Yep.
That's a real very thin synopsis of the movie. But this one came out in 2011. Each person's relationship with the movie. I want Lee to stay last because I think Lee's got more of a connection to this movie than the rest of us.
Okay.
I feel like we've had like a lot of... movies at the moment that I have not seen. This is another movie that I have never seen before. I had no idea that James Franco was in it. I didn't know which one we were doing. There's so many Planets of the Apes. I had to ask you guys probably about three times which one we were doing.
It was Harry Potter all over again.
Yeah, I was a little bit worried about it.
I remember the movies and which ones which. I just forget which what the names are.
Yeah, what one goes where.
It's Rise of, Dawn of, and War of.
I was
going to
say there's War in one of them. I know that.
And what, there's a fourth one coming soon. Too,
yeah, there
right?
is a fourth one coming soon. I think it's 2025. It's being launched.
But what's it going to be called?
I can't remember.
Give me two seconds.
Yeah,
no stress. So do you remember the hype around it when it came out, Joes?
Yeah, I definitely have heard of Planet of the Apes, and I know that it's a massive franchise, but I just have never... never seen it, never knew too much about it. Like I just knew of it.
Did you never saw any of the older movies or anything?
No, none of the old ones, none of the other ones. This is all a brand new category for me, I guess.
So this will be the fourth one, the new one that's coming out.
Of the most recent ones. Yeah. Matt Reeves takes over as director after this one, doesn't he?
Maybe. I think there's a multitude of directors, sort of like Fast and Furious, where
I'm pretty sure Matt Reeves had a solid run. He's done more than one.
Well, Wes Ball is doing this one.
Wes Borland from Limp Bizkit.
No, Wes Ball is doing.
Oh, okay. What? Yeah.
So Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is the new one that's coming out. So the Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming out on 10th of May, 2024.
Okay, cool.
Oh, this year?
Yeah.
Holy shit,
that's awesome.
But you guys obviously were just talking about whether or not you'd seen the originals, right? Have you seen any of the other, the sequels to the Rise of the Planet of the Apes?
Nope, not one of them.
Have you seen?
Yeah, I've seen all three.
So, yeah.
Do you recommend them?
Yes.
And
definitely.
And for the 100th time, you're going to be like, the second one is better. The second one is better. I think with any other movie we have done, nearly.
You know what?
I'm going to say 90% of them you have said, you need to watch the second one. The second one is
better. With Die Hard, number one is the best.
Wrong.
Fuck off. Matt Reeves, who did the other ones, he's the guy that did the new Batman with Robert Pattinson.
Oh.
Yeah.
So this one's going to be a really interesting, I reckon this one's going to be a really interesting addition to the list, because this is a movie without Caesar in it.
Oh, what?
Oh.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, so you don't remember the fact that...
No, tell me. No.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. So, yeah, because, yeah. Anyway, my relationship with the movie is I know Planet of the Apes from like the pop culture franchise. I always remember it being a thing. Sometimes in the middle of the day on a weekend when I was young, you'd see a Planet of the Apes movie. But my main memory of the Planet of the Apes being a thing was the end of Spaceballs.
Yep, of course.
And The Simpsons.
Okay.
The Planet of the Apes musical. You know, Dr. Seuss.
Yes.
Where Troy McClure is in it. That just always reminds me. But one thing that many people forget, especially with this new franchise being such a big hit and being immensely popular, hence why we're getting a fourth movie. A big thing I remember was in maybe the early 2000s or was it the late 90s? Tim Burton.
2001.
Tim Burton did a Planet of the Apes
movie. He sure did. With Mark Wahlberg.
Helena Bonham Carter. And I remember that being a big deal at the time, but it also ended up being a massive flop.
Yes, it was.
Ooh. And that's why I didn't see this at the cinema.
And Tim Roth. And Michael Clarke Duncan.
Oh, man. Maybe I need to revisit it. I don't remember. I don't remember it being very good.
You know what? It's interesting actually, because I remember watching the 2001 Planet of the Apes, and as a standalone film, right, it's actually not terrible. Right. I think what's happened is obviously there was such a massive hype around the originals, and obviously the originals it was such an original idea, and the originals spawned obviously all the sequels that it spawned. But it's the originals are such an important part of pop culture that they went to do it again. But it had the Tim Burton spin on it, so it was a little bit darker, it was a little bit weird. And I think the reason why it flopped so hard is because it's like the only movie that Tim Burton's done that Johnny Depp wasn't in. So, it's disappointing. But to be honest with you, on a personal opinion, I thought the 2001 Planet of the Apes as a standalone film, it was okay.
Yeah.
It wasn't terrible. But I mean, it's interesting, obviously, with the relaunch of the 2011 one that we're talking about with Rise of the Planet of the Apes, it doesn't follow on to the 2001 version, and it doesn't follow on to the, you know, the completely original one that happened in the 60s with Charlton
Heston.
It's gone completely different, and it's gone a completely different storyline, because it's actually pre, so this is all about what happens beforehand.
Oh.
Yeah, that's why it's the Dawn.
Yeah.
I saw this on Fox.
Do you mean the Rise?
Rise, fuck. Yeah. Dawn's the second one. But anyway, I saw it on Fox Cell was when I first saw it. Now,
I see where you come from with that.
I remember, didn't you say you were a fan of the old ones?
Yeah.
As in like the 60s ones?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, hit us with it.
Hit you with what?
Tell us your story, dickhead.
Give us your relationship, goddammit.
So I like the 60s ones.
That's all he's got.
I'm looking at something to throw at you right now.
Look, I don't really... I mean, the relationship I've
Show
got with...
Show Nick some respect. He wants to hear about the apes, Lee.
All right, sorry, Nick. Look, my relationship with the old movies, I've seen the old movies.
How many are there?
There's four of them. I'm pretty sure there's four of them.
Okay, yep.
From memory, there's four. This is going back a while, right? I haven't watched all of the old ones in a while, so if that's incorrect, then I apologise.
And we did have a bit of a debate about if we should have started with them, but now that you've said it has no connection whatsoever to these ones.
No, it doesn't.
I feel okay that we didn't.
It's just interesting because obviously the original Planet of the Apes film, like we're talking about the original Charlton Heston one, when that came out, the whole concept of that movie, as a bit of a spoiler alert, is he's an astronaut and he comes back down to Earth, but Earth has changed.
Ooh.
And now the apes have overrun, right?
Okay,
so the apes are the intelligent people, the intelligent species, and the humans are the ones that are caged up. And that's the whole point. Like, he's not sure about whether or not he's actually in a different dimension or whatever. And that's where the big reveal comes from, where he actually finds himself, obviously with the Statue of Liberty in that very famous scene at the end.
It was Earth all along.
Because it was Earth all along. And that's why it's such an important scene. But the point that I'm making is that there's not a lot of beginnings, like how it all happened and how it all began.
Uh-huh.
And that's the reason why this is a bit of a different storytelling, because this is all about how the apes basically became intelligent.
Yes.
So it took a different angle.
I like it.
Is the old one set in like present day at the time?
No. See, it's a bit askew, right? Because it's sort of like Star Wars, where it's like set in the future. That's
can we
in the
not
past.
Go through
like
one podcast without bringing up Star Wars?
Like, you know what I mean? No. Like it's set in the distant future that's actually in the past, kind of thing, right?
It's like Family Guy starts this parody from like a long time ago, but somehow in the future.
Yeah, that's right, that's right. So it's like it's obviously, you know, parallel universes, different timelines, etc. But I think that's part of the reason why the 2001 version didn't do as well, because it basically carbon copied that idea of the original movie, and then it sort of flopped out because it's sort of like a copy paste version of it, just with a Tim Burton spin, and it wasn't as good.
Well, on the back of that, this comes out. You're an ape fan from way back. Did you go see this at the cinema?
Yes, I did.
Right.
From memory, and again, you know, I've watched all of them. I'm not overly excited about the last one that's come out, but I've got a feeling. I think the reason why I've sort of lost a little bit of interest in it is
not give me any spoilers.
No. The reason why I've lost a little bit of interest in it is because spoiler alert. No, I'm just joking. Is mainly because it takes so long for them to produce and then release the next installment of it. So, you know, we're taking a look at 2011 versus 2024. That's a 13-year gap for four movies.
It's a lot of CGI and motion capture.
Yeah, of course. And I understand and appreciate it takes a long time to put it all together.
Andy Serkis has been doing Marvel movies.
Yeah, and I was just about to point out, you know, Andy Serkis has got props, right? You know,
Star
props
Wars. He did Star Wars.
We're mentioning Star Wars again.
No, but he was in the Star Wars trilogy as well as the bloody series.
I know.
It's relevant.
I know. I get it. No, I'm just laughing.
I did not know.
I'm just laughing about the fact that Josie seems to think we mention Star Wars in every single pod we do.
I'll make a point of it.
But anyway, no, what I was saying was, you know, over the 13 years, you know, there are other things that are coming out, and it's hard to stay on track with what's going on because, you know, if you're not 150% invested into it, it's just one of those things where it'll just bypass you.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, we've got ourselves five categories that'll get our score out of five. We can give it a 0, a 0.5, or a full 1 point. We start off with our first category, which is basic casting, and Lee's going to go first.
Oh, am I?
Yeah.
I wasn't ready for that.
Well, suck shit.
Basic casting. I'm going to give it a 1. James Franco as Will Rodman, known from 127 Hours, Pineapple Express, Why Him, Homefront. He's an interesting character, actually, or he's an interesting actor, actually, because James Franco is really sort of, in my mind, really well known, you know, with the whole Jonah Hill and, you know, all of the
Judd Apatow crew.
Yeah, the Judd Apatow crew, but more of a comic actor than anything.
Yeah.
I think of him more of a comic actor more than anything. And then you watch him in a serious film like Planet of the Apes, for argument's sake, and he's got chops.
I loved him in Spider-Man as well, and that was more of a serious role for
him
too.
Yeah, okay. But the big movie that stands out for me that he's got real serious chops in, I don't know, have you seen Homefront?
No.
With Jason Statham?
Mm-mm.
It's an okay movie, but James Franco is really good in it. He plays a really crazy meth dealer. But yeah, it's a really serious role for him.
Have you seen him in Spring Breakers?
No.
Okay.
So, you know, it's interesting, obviously, just, you know, you've got this mindset or this, you know, this mentality, or I have this mindset or mentality about him being this comic actor, and then you watch him in a very serious role, and you sort of almost can't take the role or the movie or the role seriously. But there's kudos to him because I reckon he did the role really well. Frida Pinto, who plays his girlfriend, Caroline, she's in Slumdog Millionaire. Immortals, if you remember that terrible Greek remake thing that they did a while back.
It was something that happened.
Yeah, Mowgli, Legend of the Jungle. Yeah, look, she was okay. I didn't mind her in Slumdog Millionaire. She was okay in this. I reckon she probably could have been anybody, if you know
exactly
what I mean.
What I said.
Interesting.
Look, big chops to John Lithgow, right?
The man.
What a man.
Yeah, what a man. What a man. And again, talking about comic actors, I know that we're going to touch on this, right? We have to touch on it, but you know, it's really hard to take him seriously as a serious actor.
No, because you are so wrong.
Let me finish.
I'll fight you.
It's hard to take him as a serious actor when I've grown up watching him in Third Rock from the Sun. But the irony behind that statement is I also know and have watched a lot of his previous stuff, and I also know that before Third Rock from the Sun, he was a very serious actor.
But he was the bad guy in everything.
Yeah, I mean, talk about Cliffhanger.
Hell yes, Cliffhanger. Raising Kane.
Okay, yeah, cool.
Fucking, have you seen a movie called Ricochet?
No.
With Denzel Washington, solid movie. Ice-T's in it as well.
Isn't that an Irish man with a bullet? That's Ricochet.
Just ignore him. It's not worth it.
I'm a massive fan of him in The World According to Garp.
We've talked about that before.
Right? And it's a really interesting character pick for him too, because it's neither serious. It's both serious and comedic.
Yeah. Look, I think you'd be hard pressed to find anything he's done where he is not absolutely fantastic.
I 100% agree.
I've never seen him do something and been like, oh, he was a
his
bit shit.
Range is terrific, right? Yeah. And I haven't mentioned this before.
I know something he's shit in.
Ooh.
Pitch Perfect 3.
I see where you're going. You know what? I'm going to disagree with that respectfully.
Why is he Pitch Perfect
3? He plays the Australian dad.
It is Rebel Wilson's dad in
does.
Pitch Perfect 3.
He really does.
The accent.
And you know what? And it's terrible. But you know what? I'm going to go out on a limb and say it's so bad that it's good. But with that being...
You made me watch Pitch Perfect 1, remember?
Did I?
You did, and I haven't forgiven you.
Yeah, fair enough.
Don't do 3 then.
Look, with John Lithgow, though, I'm a massive fan of it. And, you know, a really good example of his serious acting. Have you watched him in Dexter?
Buddy.
Right?
Oh, buddy. When he did Dexter, I thought that was a return to form.
Right.
Because he used to play these real sinister bad guy, pricks. He did that in Dexter, but because he was kind of leading a bit of a double life. I like how he switched it off and on. Like, I thought he did that so well. Like, there was a scene or something, and he plays like this sort of like scared old man. I was just, he's such a good actor.
I absolutely
love John Lithgow.
The range of John Lithgow is absolutely astounding.
Yeah, he's incredible.
And as you said before, you'd be hard pressed to find yourself in a situation where you're putting him in a role that he couldn't shine in. With Pitch Perfect 3 being the exception to the rule, because I will admit he is trash in that.
Fair. All right, keep going.
All right, Brian Cox, obviously, who plays John Landon. Massive fan of Brian Cox. I've been a massive fan of Brian Cox for a long time. I love his cameo in Braveheart. He plays the uncle. I love him in A Long Kiss Goodnight. That's a fantastic movie.
That's a good movie.
With Gina Davis and Samuel L. Jackson.
Yeah.
He's in X2. He obviously plays Stryker in X2. Yeah. He's the man responsible for turning Wolverine into Wolverine.
Yes, he is.
He's obviously in a very successful TV show at the moment called Succession. You know, he's also in that box office tragedy called Troy. Do you remember when that was launched?
I went and saw Troy at the cinemas.
Bro. Talk about a terrible movie.
Can I piggyback onto that?
Sure.
He's in Manhunter. He's the original Hannibal Lecter.
Yes, he is. Yes,
the original Hannibal Lecter is Brian Cox.
You know what? It's hard when you've got someone like Brian Cox, though. You sort of take a look at, obviously, the list of things that he's done. It's hard to pick things, right? Because he's also in Bourne Identity as well,
right? Yeah, he's in heaves of stuff.
Yeah,
but I still feel he, like... his name doesn't carry the weight you think it would when you look at what he's done.
Yeah, he's almost one of those guys that you don't recognize who he is.
Yeah.
Like, he's almost that guy that you're like, you recognize him, but you're like, oh, I don't know what his name is, but he's that guy, right?
That guy.
He's that guy, yeah, and I reckon he's fantastic.
Mm. But yeah, the original Hannibal Lecter, it blows people's minds when people haven't seen Manhunter. I mean, it's a Michael Mann movie, and it's obviously what became Red Dragon eventually.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or it's based on the Red Dragon book, but yeah.
Well, anyway. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that Josie hasn't seen Manhunter.
No idea what that is.
It's
that's why I zoned out.
It's before Silence of the Lambs, but Brian Cox plays Hannibal Lecter.
But Brian Cox, massive fan, massive fan.
Same.
I think he's terrific, and he's been good for a long time as well, right? Tom Felton,
yeah,
right. And I laughed when I saw him in this, right? And I've obviously gone and done a bit of a deep dive into some of the stuff that Tom Felton's done, and legitimately, the only thing I've written is Harry Potter.
What else do you need?
What else do you need?
Honestly,
yeah, that's right.
He's Draco.
Draco Malfoy. That's
he
it.
Was in a Uber Eats ad.
Who cares? Okay. Draco Malfoy.
Who orders Uber Eats?
Yeah, right.
David.
Josie says with a mouthful.
David Oyelowo. Is that?
I'm sorry. What was that?
Oyelowo.
I'll piggyback on the back of you too. I really liked his work in this too, and I got no idea how to pronounce that name.
Yeah. Oyelowo. Yeah. Whatever. Stephen Jacobs, the guy that plays.
David was really good in this movie.
Yeah, that guy.
Classic David. As the businessman, as the head of the company, I thought he absolutely smashed it. I was a big fan of his work.
He had very good serious walking.
Have you, what?
Seriously? Are you taking the piss, Joes?
Yeah, you know, always walking so seriously.
Have you seen him in anything else? Do you know him from anything else?
Yeah, I'm trying to think. What though? God, why are you putting me on the spot, Lee?
So I know him from Selma.
Oh, yeah.
I know him from The Help.
Oh, yes. I've seen that one.
He's in this really...
I haven't seen that, but I really want to.
There's this really terrible rom-com called The Best Man or Unhitched, depending on which area of the world you're from. That's got Stuart Townsend in it. He's one of the friends in it.
Mm.
Who's Stuart?
Stuart Townsend. So Stuart Townsend is the main guy,
you know
what I'm talking about. He's one of his friends.
Mm-hmm.
But the big one is Jack Reacher.
With
Tom Cruise. So he was in the original Jack Reacher film with Tom Cruise, and he plays the cop, the cop that ends up turning bad, spoiler alert. Tyler Labine, who plays Robert Franklin, he's in Tucker and Dale versus Evil. Tucker Dale versus Evil. Flyboys, which funnily enough, James Franco was also in, and it's a terrible plane movie.
Crazy.
And Monsters Universe.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, sick.
As what?
He's one of the voices. I can't remember. I actually haven't seen Monsters Universe, so I'm not going to jump up and down about it. Ty Olson, who plays Chief John Hamill, he's also in X2.
Awesome.
Yep.
The best of those early X-Men movies.
You reckon?
Yeah, definitely.
You know what? Arguably, I like the third one, and the reason why I like the
Everyone hates the third one.
Let me finish. Okay. The reason why I like the third one is I really like the fight scene at the end.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the mutants versus the humans as well.
That's a lot. They totally just absolutely shut the bed on the Phoenix.
Of course they did.
Yeah, but then they tried it again years later and did a shit job again. But anyway.
You want to talk about a shit job? Talk about what's his name? The fire guy versus Bobby Drake. Bobby Drake's my dude.
Yeah, I know
Bobby Drake could smash everybody. Yeah. Anyway.
Look, Kelsey Grammer's Beast was a very high point in that.
Yeah, well, Kelsey Grammer's Beast in the entire series is fantastic, right?
Well, he only first appeared in that one.
Is it that just that one, was it?
Yeah, well, he's popped up in little things afterwards because the timeline
changed. And isn't he in the new Deadpool?
I haven't looked.
I'm
but
so excited.
I thought he was in the new. I thought
he probably is, but this is an X-Men podcast.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. So, old mate.
Old mate.
You were saying about the guy that's in X2 as well as Brian Cox.
Oh, yeah. Ty Olson, he's in X2, Twilight, Breaking Dawn, and True Justice. That's Steven Seagal movie.
Oh, awesome.
Yep. David Hewlett. Mad props to David Hewlett. I have to give mad props to David Hewlett. He's the guy that plays Hunsicker, the next door neighbor.
Oh, the douche.
He's in Nightmare Alley, which is a relatively recent movie that's come out.
I've seen that one, yeah.
He's in Midway. That's a relatively new movie as well. He's in The Whistleblower with the bird from The Mummy. What's her name? Rachel Weisz.
Oh, yep.
Yeah, like 2011, I think The Whistleblower came out. But the big thing about David Hewlett that I love and I have to make special mention to, he is a massive part and a main character of Stargate Atlantis.
There it is. I knew it'd be dropped.
And as soon as I watched this movie, I had already watched Stargate Atlantis, and I was like, oh my God. Yes. Well done, David. And
he's my dude.
He has done some dog shit movies in the past, but I'm glad that his acting career has sort of moved up a little bit. Mike DePod, who plays one of the officers, he's one of those random guys that just pops up. But I love the fact he's also in SG-1 and Atlantis as well. mention a couple of things that he's been in.
Well, he loves his Stargate.
I'm going to mention Andy Serkis. Obviously, we talked about Andy Serkis.
I mean, you have to.
Yeah, as Caesar. Lord of the Rings. He's done all the Apes films. I actually really liked him as Alfred in the new Batman.
Yeah. At first, I didn't like it, but when watching the movie, I liked it.
Yeah.
I didn't like the idea of a young Alfred.
Yeah, but it was. I get where they were going.
Look, I get it too. But when I first heard the casting, I was like, "Get out!"
Yeah. I didn't believe it when I first heard it because it didn't make a lot of sense, right? But when I watched it, I was like, "Yeah, okay."
I was the same when they announced Jeremy Irons for the Snyderverse.
Yeah, okay, and
he just didn't look old. Like Alfred to me from the comics, he's old and bald. Yeah.
Well, Michael, you know what? I would actually go out on a limb and say that Andy Serkis sold it better for me than Jeremy Irons did.
Interesting.
I really
like that Batman movie a lot.
The Robert Pattinson one,
didn't we? I feel like we did.
You're talking about the Robert Pattinson one?
Yeah.
So Terry Notary, who played Rocket, the ape, he's in Kong Skull Island as Kong.
Fitting.
Yeah. So he's obviously...
That was actually pretty decent.
Would you argue that it's typecasting now?
I know, it's a bit awkward, isn't it?
He's a CGI.
Yeah, he's the guy. he was in Warcraft, the Warcraft movie. Richard Ridings, who plays Buck, he was in the pianist, Joan of Arc, that terrible 2001 movie or whatever, The Brothers Grimm with Heath Ledger, and my favorite pop of all time, Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
What? Ooh, that's one that we need to do.
So
soon.
Do you remember Who Framed Roger Rabbit? You remember the guy that Eddie Valiant shoves the egg into his mouth?
Yeah.
That's him.
Oh,
that's who he is.
That's a long time between that one.
But
and this
in summary, you're giving it a one.
I'm giving it a one.
Okay,
cool. I piggybacked on Lee because he went long. I've got a 0.5 just for the fact that Lithgow nearly made it a one. But as far as Franco and Frida, I'm like, we could have had any one of those roles.
You didn't rate Franco in it?
Not really.
Okay. Do you have
he's good, but I don't think he's great. I don't think he's ever hit a great level. But then again, I haven't seen the movie you mentioned.
Homefront?
Have not seen that. And haven't seen the, what's the one where his arm's stuck under the rock?
127 Hours.
Yeah, I haven't seen that one either. So maybe it's just that I haven't seen him at his best. But I was watching this kind of like, I mean, he's good. He's not bad.
You know, it's interesting actually because my personal opinion about James Franco, like I said, I think of him as a comedic actor. Mm. But I don't rate him as a comedic actor.
Have you seen Why Him?
Yes.
Yeah, I have.
Oh, I find that so funny. I think James Franco is hilarious in that.
See, I think that movie's good because of Bryan Cranston.
But anything with Bryan Cranston is good.
Yeah,
yes, it is. Bryan Cranston should be in the Apes movies.
You know what? If Bryan Cranston had actually been cast as Zordon in Power Rangers, it would have made it better.
Boom.
He was, wasn't he?
No, he wasn't.
Oh.
But he was supposed to be. Okay. And there was homage to him because the...
You know what they should do? Remake Breaking Bad, but the whole cast is apes.
Sure.
With Bryan Cranston
as the leader.
Yeah, but they named Billy Cranston the Blue Ranger after Bryan Cranston.
God. Oh, there you go.
We're going on so many sidebars. I've got a 0.5. I think that they're all good. Like I said, I remember, because obviously I guess I'm older, and I remember when Lithgow started doing Third Rock from the Sun, I'm like, this guy's just been the most evil, sadistic prick in so many movies. Now he's been a funny guy.
Mm-hmm. But I think that's the reason.
But he killed it.
Yeah, I think that's the reason why they picked him, because it was either going to work or it wasn't.
And of course it worked, because he's a tremendous actor.
Yeah, but know what? Kudos to Third Rock from the Sun as well. And again, sidebar, but kudos to Third Rock from the Sun, because a large portion of the reason why it was so good was because of the cast.
Yeah.
The rest of the cast made that film. Oh, sorry, made that TV show.
Yeah, they did. Love Lithgow. I do like Franco as much as I thought he could have been anyone. Like, I'm not watching this movie for James Franco.
Yep.
Lithgow just grabs your heart and squeezes the life out of it. Because he brings all the feels for this. He plays that because obviously he's a person with Alzheimer's, and the son trying to cure his dad is like
so sweet.
It's very much in the feels and pulls on the heartstrings and all that. But a lot of it, like, say, I love Andy Serkis, but it's not like I'm watching Caesar and going, man, Andy Serkis is great.
He's doing such a great job.
Yeah, yeah. Whereas it's, I guess it's different when he's actually looking like himself and playing himself in, like, say, Andor or the Batman or whatever.
It's interesting, actually. So you think about Andy Serkis, right? And I don't think he gets the props that he deserves, considering, you know, the two of the biggest films that he's been involved in are him in CGI.
Well, Gollum was a game changer on so many levels.
Yeah. And but he did it so, but he did it so well, right?
Yeah.
He did it so well.
Oh, he absolutely, yeah.
But you know what? You were talking about, I didn't mention this before, but you want to talk about Andy Serkis, right? You want to talk about range. I really, really liked him in Black Panther.
Yes.
Wow, that was a lot.
That wasn't practiced.
But also, so he's a really good voice actor. He does a lot of voice acting. Yeah, yeah. Does an amazing South African accent, and that's quite a hard accent to pull off.
Yeah.
He did a better South African accent than Leonardo DiCaprio in Blood Diamond.
I'll agree with that.
I don't know. Leo really drove it home.
Mm. Anyway, movie. I'm going to proceed.
Please.
I also gave it a 0.5, very similar to what Adam said. I think Johnny Boy made the film with how he portrayed the dad. Very heartfelt. You just wanted the serum to work so badly. And just how much he loves Caesar was so beautiful to watch. James Franco, absolute babe, wouldn't need science for him. But apparently he's quite a dick in real life.
Like, yeah, well, he's recently been cancelled.
Yeah, so that's a shame because anyway.
Maybe you got a shot.
Maybe I can change him. Maybe I can make him a better man. But I liked him in this, and I liked – I know it's weird because Caesar's actually not a real person or thing, but I actually really liked the relationship between Will and Caesar. I thought that was really, really nice. But, yeah, Frida Pinto, is that how I say her name?
She's good.
I think Lee said it. She could be anyone. I don't think she made an impact whatsoever in it.
Oh, yeah, she was okay. She wasn't anything to write home.
Yeah, I think Tom Felton was just Malfoy, just surrounded by apes in this film.
Oh, he was a good prick.
You know?
But that's him. That's his typecast.
But that's what he was in Harry Potter.
Oh,
so.
He was so much better in this than Harry Potter. In Harry Potter, it was like a kid trying
to be a
badass.
He was also like two in Harry Potter,
yeah, exactly.
You know? And
with that being said, though, I am glad that he sort of branched out a little bit outside of the Harry Potter scope. And, you know, it's almost a typecast thing where he hasn't really shifted all that much from his Malfoy role in this film. But at least he's trying. Good on him.
Yeah, hey, he's getting work.
My final thing is I just feel sorry for the character Franklin. Like, no one really... like checked on him. He tried so many times to stay alive and just no one cared about him and look how he ended up. And good work to Tyler Labine.
Sucked in. You should have worn his mask properly.
Oh, yeah, that too. But, yeah, poor Franklin.
I'll bet you one better. Is there, like, varying degrees of different primates in this movie? So I swear, well, they're meant to be apes, and then there's like chimpanzees, and there's like gorillas, and all that. Do they all go into the ape family?
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's the ape family, right?
Okay,
so it's an overarching,
like cats, apes.
Yeah, the ape family. So you've got orangutans, Maurice, Maurice, you know the orangutan, the orange one.
Maurice.
Yeah, I love that guy.
Yeah, yeah. So he's a very important character in the in this and the sequels, you know he's obviously not an ape, but he is an ape if you know what I mean.
Okay. That's what I was a little...
like, you're talking about the overarching species and then obviously the subspecies underneath it, right? So chimps, monkeys, apes, gorillas, etc.
Okay.
Bonobos.
Clean that up. What?
Bonobos.
Bonobos.
There's a type of ape.
Oh, gibbons. Do you know the gibbons?
Yeah. But a gibbon is not an ape.
What is it?
A gibbon is actually its own species.
Oh.
Yeah,
it's actually
a lesser ape.
You have gone to the zoo too many times with Harper recently.
I like that the noise they do when they yell out.
I'm not going to lie. The only reason why I know this is because I watched Big Bang Theory and they talk about it.
Oh. Christ.
All right, we have gone very long on the cast. Basic plot and story. I'm going to kick this one off. I've given it a 1. It's an amazing premise in this. Like, I absolutely love the premise in this. Like you said, Lee, obviously there was no real major backstory in the old ones. The fact that they've created this from scratch, they've done it amazingly. The fact that he's trying to cure Alzheimer's for his dad just brings all the feels. Like, I love the science ideas behind it and what they're trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
I think the ape's super cute as well when it's bonding with the dad.
Oh, it's so cute.
Especially when it's like a little baby. And I was like, aw. And all the scenes leading up to it was...
Sorry, what were you doing?
Oh, man. This. I know, we'll touch on the scenes later, although I don't think I wrote that one down. Yeah, you know when they like have to like put them all down, and the guy's like, "No, no, you do the last one because I'm down."
Yeah.
I was just like, "Jesus Christ!" Yeah, so anyway, the ape's super cute bonding with the dad. Then seeing the evolution of Caesar getting more and more intelligent is so good.
Yeah,
like when they're going out in the on the hike and stuff like that are just so well done that like obviously it's CGI, it's not an actual real animal in the movie, but it just makes you feel for this like. I don't know, bunch of pixels. And it all leading to the, you know, quote unquote rise. It's just so well done. It's a great journey. And when the action hits, the action's awesome.
Yep.
It is so well done.
But it's not just the fight scenes, right? Like, it's just all the things that happen.
But the movements of the camera the way how it goes in and out of the scenery and shit.
And the way it builds up as to that point.
It is
yep.
so good. It's a big one for me for plot and story.
Job, you can go.
I also gave it a one. For someone that had zero desire to watch it or know much about it, by the end of it, I wanted to watch the others.
Yeah, yeah.
I really wanted to know like what happened next. I loved watching, as Adam said, Caesar grow up and transform into the leader that he becomes.
Yep.
As I said in the cast, I loved the relationship between Caesar and Will and Will's dad. They were great relationships to have, but also him finding his place within the ape kingdom yep. as well. That was really beautiful. So I got invested.
I really on the back of that, I really recommend that you actually watch the sequels.
Okay.
And the reason for that being is that actually they expand on that even more because there's this massive division between, and it's all about this massive division between the ape community and the human community. Mm. But the ape community is run by Caesar, but he is heavily impacted because of his relationship with Will.
So this is, I know that James Franco doesn't come back and there's reasons for it and blah, 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 which I'm so devastated by because I loved that relationship. Who takes over for James Franco?
It's not. There's nothing there. You don't need it anymore.
Oh, that's so heartbreaking.
They're good movies though. The sequels
are good movies.
The sequels are awesome.
And you know what? It's interesting because I remember when this came out and then obviously watching it and then obviously realizing that there's sequels and then when we found out that there were going to be sequels coming out, I'm like, oh, how are they going to do this without James Franco? Because
mm-hmm.
surely it's just a lead on from that, right? But it's not, and they go in a completely different direction. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit further down the track, but they do go in a different direction and it's actually very well done.
I just
done.
Wanted to keep watching them, you know, have their relationship.
But it goes places. Though.
Yeah, but it does. And you know what? The relationships that he has, because he still has relationships with humans, mm-hmm. the relationships that he does have is still good.
And then there's politics amongst the apes
correct.
As well.
Ooh.
Like, yeah.
But
it's
he
really
also.
Cool.
Drama. No,
and I don't want to spoil it too much, but he also has a family as well.
Aww.
So he actually, Caesar has a family and he teaches all the apes because they're obviously smarter now.
Doing the signs.
Everyone
stuff.
Signs and talks.
Beautiful.
So maybe you guys can use it for your. You can use it for your...
Are you calling my students apes?
No, I was just referring to the sign language stuff because it's...
On that, what kind of... If we were
a big part of the movie.
If we were all apes, what kind of apes would we be?
Korean.
You absolute idiot.
Oh, so bad.
Go on, argue with me. Tell me I'm wrong.
Just move on.
We could have had like a decent back and forth here.
Sorry, Adam. Sorry.
I feel like you'd be a little cute little chimp, Josie.
Ooh, I'm glad because in my head I feel like I'm more Reese and massive.
No. I feel I'd be like a gorilla. I'm like kind of like dark hair and I'm quite hairy. So.
Yeah, you do your thing.
Yeah.
And you're the guy that we throw at a helicopter, are we?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just fucking yeet me at a helicopter.
just let's tight go. Bullet and spiral.
And just flying nice. Through the air for Kobe.
Yeah.
Terrible. I love you, Kobe Bryant. Sorry.
I don't know. I'd probably be a Maurice, I think.
I can see that.
I could probably be a Maurice.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. Good chat. What did you give the story?
Basic plot and story. I 100% echo both of your thoughts. It's a mm-hmm. one from me. It's a very, very original way. And I think they paid homage to the original movie incredibly well without stepping on its toes. But I think they actually built on it even more by giving the backstory. And
now that
it
you've
in such
informed
a way.
Me what it is, I'm like, oh, that's a great way to go about it.
Oh, yeah. It's like even though – so normally this would be the place where Lee's like on his little high dickhead horse of being like, oh, well, it's not a – original story, actually, because it's kind of like a remake and it's been done before.
That's amazing. But, sound exactly like
so
that.
So similar.
How many times has he said that on our podcast?
Your Korean is fantastic.
You idiot. I actually tell people the story of the Korean people asking you where something was in Korea.
Oh, yeah, you like that, dude.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
For context, Lee was like, I don't live here. Anyway.
That's not what I said, but sure.
Yeah, whatever. I think there was some colourful language with it, wasn't it?
There was some colourful language.
Yeah. But anyway.
But yeah, they've made
this its own.
Yes, correct. Yeah. And they've done a really good way that, like, they've paid homage to the original movie, as I said, with an original story, like almost a backstory of it, placing it in before the first movie. Mm-hmm. But what they've done, I thought that they did really well, is create their own sense of it, which means that they can offshoot into the sequels that they've done, and not have to worry about whether or not it actually stays true to the originals or not. Mm-hmm. And I think that the sequels have done really, really well with reference to that. You know, the sequels have actually, you know, and arguably the second one is better, but only because it expands more. Like, you're invested now. You know, you've done the original.
See? Second one's always better.
They've got the story out the way.
Yeah.
And it's now on.
They can go in depth.
So I actually prefer both the sequels over the first one myself.
Well, yeah, but you need this. You need the first one to appreciate the second one.
I watched them in order as well. I was way more invested in the other two than I was in this
one. Yeah, and that's fair.
Which we will get to an appeal, but next up we've got our notable scenes.
Just before we say that, I just wanted to make special mention. I really, really liked, you were talking about obviously how he found his way, like his own place in the ape kingdom, mm-hmm. and he's going his own growth. I really liked the sort of the crossroads. Because he was at a crossroads when, you know, Will tried to bribe John Langdon to let him go.
And he drew the window in the cell and stuff.
Well,
like
yeah,
that.
No, well, like, he tried to bribe him to take him home, and then Caesar closed the door on him and said, you know, I don't belong here anymore. I need to be with my fellows and my own species.
It was like the Godfather.
Yeah, I'm going to lead my – everything's got to go back to that.
Star Wars, Godfather,
I'm going to lead a revolt. Let's go.
Don't ever ask me about my monkey business again.
Yeah. And you think my jokes are bad, but...
It wasn't a joke, man. It's real.
Okay.
Anyway, memorable scene. Is that one of your memorable scenes, would you say?
I hadn't written that down, actually. And the notable scene is starting off with me. Caesar's first day in the pen. And then the pecking order when he gets the shit beaten out of him by Rocket.
Oh, that hurt. That again, why am I...
invested.
Yeah, so, why is this hurting my feelings?
You know, with Tom Felton with the hose, and he's just curled up all cold, like, oh.
You know what? You generally don't want to root for people to die. I generally don't want to root for people to die. And I was so excited when Tom Felton got what it was coming to
his same. Peace out.
That was great. Okay, so my first notable scene is Caesar and the dad forming their bond. All right, just the feels and the warmth of it, the bonding, and the dad's starting to get well.
Yeah.
It's like a great hope spot for the movie.
Yeah. But then
before everything goes to shit.
And his appreciation for Caesar increases because he's better.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'll piggyback off that because I've kind of pretty much done anything with Will's dad and Caesar in it. So I really liked the fork scene when
it's the other way and
Caesar turns
That's the start of the decline backwards.
Yeah, which is so sad. But I also love when Caesar goes to protect Will's dad with the neighbour,
With Hunziker.
And you just see John be like, no, or like Caesar or whatever and you just, you feel the pain between all of it. So I really liked that connection.
Yeah. I wanted the neighbour to die as well.
Yeah. Well, he does.
Oh, good.
The slow transition of him learning how to unlock everything.
Yeah.
So when he nicks the knife, and then the process of him learning how, like, even the codes and stuff.
They do it in a good way that doesn't rush it.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, if I don't know. I always talk about modern movies, obviously being like almost like an ADD generation where they've got to like get
short attention span.
Somehow
the movies are 3 hours, but everything's so quick.
Yeah. Whereas they build his intelligence so well, and then when they sort of smoke bomb the stuff as well. Yeah. really well executed.
It's almost like a montage, but it's not.
Yes.
Yeah. So yeah, the slow transition of him learning how to unlock everything, but then the finale for me, when he actually brings Rocket out and Rocket submits to him.
Yeah.
That's massive.
Huge.
Yeah. And he's
Animal Kingdom.
I love the fact that he's just got muscles behind him, just waiting, going, yeah, go on, say no, see what happens.
Yeah.
See what happens.
My second one is Caesar talking for the first time.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. And then bashing Draco. It's like huge stuff and just kicks
bashing
everything.
Bashing Draco.
And then like, it's just huge stuff. And that I feel that moment onwards, the movie kicks up a level.
Is that when Caesar needed to like just scream Avada Kedavra?
Yeah. Expelliarmus. Yeah. Well, he kind of does get zapped.
Yeah,
you know?
he gets lightning bolt of shit. You know what? It would have been a funny homage, actually, if you just had seen Tom Felton after the shot when he died, and there's just a little lightning scar on his head after he's been electrocuted.
Brilliant. Oh, God. What else you got?
I'll do my final two because we already talked about the closing of the door. I wrote that down. I really loved that. The breakout scene, we talked about that as well. But the last one that I have is very quick, and it's towards the start of the movie, is the shower scene when Caesar's still a baby and he just slowly wraps his hand around Will's pinky. I find that really sweet.
It's cute, like a little baby.
And it's just the like beginning of their relationship.
Yep. We've already talked about, but I've said when Dodge Landon tries to get Caesar back into his cell and it all goes tits up.
Oh, yeah.
And Caesar gets his revenge with the hose. We talked about it before, but it's epic. It's an epic scene. But I really like the touch of and apparently it's actually got something to do with a deleted scene. But I really like the touch of the fact that Caesar is actually, and this is important for the sequels, but Caesar doesn't actually kill both of them. Mm. He locks one of them up and then he kills, obviously.
Yes.
But if you remember the scene, when he actually kills him, he hits him with the hose, and obviously he electrocutes him. It was actually he didn't realize that was actually going to happen, and he actually see the shock on his face when it happened. And it's a learning curve. Curve for him, right?
Yeah.
Yes. My last one's the bridge scene. The big
epic fight.
The big fight.
Yes. Going under, going over.
Off the hook, man. That is some wicked shit. It's all going down. Like, it's high level action.
Yeah. Shit's about to go.
And they did it really well too, right? Like, you know, obviously with the flanking and the tactical flanking and, you know, the tactics and all the stuff that's involved in it.
I just love that they do the typical action movie lineup of cops and guns and cars and these monkeys just wreck their shit.
Yeah. You fools.
Yeah, it's just like they think they got this and the monkeys are just like,
you know what? You know what? You actually, when you actually think about it, you think about the tactics behind getting all the gorillas to move the bus to stop the bullets.
So good, man.
So good.
So good, so bro. Good. I fucking loved it. All right, next up.
Hang on. I've got a couple more. Just on that, I'm going to tag on to that. I really like when Cobra gets his revenge and he's the one that kills Stephen Jacobs.
Yeah.
By pushing the helicopter off.
I like Cobra.
Yeah.
He looks a bit scary, but
I also, this is unrelated, but I really, really like the scene where Caesar's talking to Maurice. It's the first time
that's really sweet.
You actually get subtitles.
Yeah.
Because Maurice obviously knows how to sign, and I really like the fact, because that's important as well for the sequels, because him and Maurice become very close. And he's talking about, obviously, you know, why we
don't show you're smart.
Rocket and, you know, apes are stronger together, and it's cliche, but it's a really good scene. Yeah.
He's like Yoda.
He is like Yoda.
All right.
What did everyone give it?
Massive one for me.
It's a massive one for me.
Oh, really? I gave it a 0.5. I feel a bit of a dick now. Yeah, get out. Sorry.
Well, flip. Flip.
I won't.
You should flip.
No,
flip.
I'm stubborn.
Totally flip.
No.
Lee flipped recently.
I did flip recently.
What a flipper.
Yeah. Appeal is next.
I unfortunately gave it a 0. As much as I loved this film, as I said at the start of the pod, I had 0 desire to see it. I knew about it, but it never crossed my mind to actually watch it until it was suggested. So thank you, Nick, for suggesting this film.
So can I just clarify this? Obviously, the appeal for this is 0, and I won't have a crack at you about this, but is there an appeal now to watch the sequels?
Yeah, as I said, with the plot that I was so invested in it and where it was going that I'm really keen to watch the other ones.
Yeah, okay, cool.
They're really good.
Adam?
Much to the surprise of probably myself as well, I've gone a 0 for appeal as well.
Wow.
Simply for the fact, right, that I never watched the old movies. I didn't like the Tim Burton version.
Yep.
Like that. Like, I remember being a big thing and getting excited for it and just leaving, kind of being like, that was a bit shit. And the fact that I didn't see this until it was on Foxtel. But whilst I really enjoyed this, I was like, after watching this first one, there was a massive appeal to watch the sequels like we just like saw that. Mm-hmm. But this meant like, this one was like nothing to me until I saw it.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas the appeal for like the sequels afterwards, I'm like, I'm fucking all in because this movie kicks ass.
Well, it's interesting because the appeal, you don't, this is the kind of movie where you don't have to have, you don't have to have watched the originals in order to appreciate it.
No, but I thought I knew what I was getting in for.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
You sort of see the trailers. Oh yeah, it's the apes. They're doing ape shit.
Here we go again.
It's this big CGI fest. Hollywood's trying to cash in on another remake. You know what I mean? Especially at 2011 when it came out, everything's sort of getting recycled.
Yeah.
But then when I finally saw it, I was like, holy shit, I should have given this a chance because this would have been amazing on the big screen.
Yeah.
But then after seeing that first one, I was kind of like, oh man, there's another one coming out. I'm in.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Sign me the fuck
I'm
up.
I'm sold.
Yeah, and I'll be in the cinema when the fourth one comes out. You should watch the other two before four comes out and we'll go see it.
Okay.
Cool.
That is a lot of watching for me to do before May 10th, but I can do that.
It's time.
It's time.
And then you got 5 months of nothing, so you're fine.
don't bury the lead that Josie's leaving us.
So. Yeah.
Or is she?
Dun, dun.
What's your appeal, Lee? It has to be a one, right?
The appeal is that Josie's leaving.
So big one.
I am so shocked you have not done some banana joke because it's a monkey movie and appealing.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I'm really shocked by that.
Is there still time?
I really hope not.
You did ruin it for me, but thanks.
There you go. Yeah.
Did you have one in the chamber?
I didn't, but it's all of my stuff's off the cuff anyway.
That's why it's so shit.
It is why it's so shit. For me, the appeal is 0.5. And the reason why the appeal is 0.5 is because I've watched the originals. I don't froth the originals. I like the originals. I've watched the originals. They're all right. I feel like the originals are outdated. They're a bit outdated.
Well, the 60s, man.
Yeah. But, like, they're classics for a reason, right? And the storyline, if you're talking about the basic plot and storyline specifically as a key important part of why a movie is good, you know, Planet of the Apes and even its sequels are actually solid, right? It's all about the rebellion movement and how they just keep on moving with the war and stuff like that. But, you know, in total, it wasn't something that I'm like, oh, my God, the new Planet of the Apes movie is coming out again. I have to go and see it. I watched the Tim Burton remake. I thought it was okay as a standalone film. I saw they were redoing it again. And to be honest with you,
it looked good.
Yeah.
They used actual actors and makeup.
Yeah, yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Well, Helena Bonham Carter was one of the apes. But not
in a Tim Burton movie.
Yeah, yeah. Helena Bonham Carter in a Tim Burton movie. Who would have thought?
Holy shit.
But yeah, from an appeal perspective, when this relaunched, or like, you know, they're talking about doing new Planet of the Apes movies again, it wasn't anything that I was getting crazy about.
That's what I was saying, yeah.
You know, but with that being said, though, I'm still pretty sure I watched it at the cinemas just because, you know, it looked like it was going to be a good trope. And I'm not going to lie, because it's got David Hewlett in it and I was on the back of watching Atlantis, I'm like, I'm going to froth this and this is going
to
be great.
We have to do Stargate.
Please don't do this to me.
We're talking about the movie, not the TV show.
Okay.
Yes, you have to watch.
This is Lee's favorite thing. Lee loves Stargate.
You have to watch 18 seasons of Stargate.
No.
All right.
The movie is going to be a stretch. Movie will be a stretch.
Movie's got Kurt Russell in it.
Yeah, the movie does have Kurt Russell. And James Spader, young James Spader.
I too love Kurt Russell.
Anyway, yeah, so the appeal
You're
for me...
human, of course you do.
The appeal for me is 0.5. And the reason why I'm giving it a 0.5 is I didn't froth the fact that it was coming out, but I did watch it in the cinemas.
Okay, fair. We're at 52 minutes, so we're going long, guys. Ending final climax. I've gone one. I said it's a great finale. It is a huge action piece.
Huge.
I'm like literally from the escape and the scene that I just love that I couldn't put in my memorable scenes, but just when shit is about, they've gone out of the building, out of the prison, I was going to call it.
Yeah, sanctuary.
When they're on the street, you just see all the leaves falling. From
yeah,
their
that
through.
Is a great.
Holy shit, that is awesome. And you know shit's about to go down. From when the leaves are falling on the street to the huge action on the bridge, and then you got Franco trying to win over Caesar at the end, who then sort of lets him go, you know what I mean? And this starts a new life, and it's so open too. It's ready for sequels. I love a good open ending, especially the way they executed the ending of this. I was just like, mwah, big one.
Okay. I'm going to go next.
Sure.
Ditto. legitimately, everything that Adam just said.
They stuck the landing so good that as soon as it ends, I'm like, fuck, do I have time to put on the next one?
With one small exception, I'm just going to add just something really, really small to it. The ending was done in such a masterful way, and the ending was done to, you know, the fact that Caesar's going off to do his own little thing and great, but what I really loved about it was it could have been a standalone film and it would have been fantastic.
Yeah.
But the fact that they have got sequels attached to it is also as just as, or even better, because they can develop more, but it's got the ability to be either or. And what I also really appreciate as well is that it also paid really good homage to the original films, because mm-hmm. it didn't step on its toes, but it does give basic context to what could have potentially happened.
I like it.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to give it a 0.5. Because I loved all of the action. I loved all the bridge and pew, 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 woo, 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 type of thing.
Sorry, what? Sorry, say that again.
You know, boo,
Josie just recapped the ending for us.
Yeah. I thought it was really strategic and loved all the explosions, and the scene between Will and Caesar was beautiful. But then because I have no context of the sequels or the prequels, I guess you would call them, I was a bit like... So they're just going to chill in the...
Yeah, the context does help.
Are you just going to chill in the woods next to the city?
But they're overlooking the city of what they're about to take over.
You know, it's hard. It's hard for me.
They've just done all of this massive stuff on the bridge and through the city, and we're just going to chill over here in the woods for a bit.
They're at the top of the trees where they're going to throw poo at people.
I guess it's also hard for me. It's hard for me for my opinions and my scores to not be slightly jaded because I already know what's going to happen next.
See, I had no idea. I have no idea about the prequels.
So like what I'm saying is like I've watched the film, then I've gone and watched the sequels, and then I've gone and rewatched the film to do the pod, right?
Yes. Yeah.
So because I've gone and I've got a slightly jaded opinion because I've seen what happens next, it has to have an impact on my score.
Whereas for me, like as a standalone film, they have all these like this big war with the humans, and then they just go to the woods next door or above. Above the next door. Yeah. You're welcome, Adam. And then it ends. And so, yes, it would be I'm glad that they have sequels, that it's so open-ended to extend on that. But as a standalone, it's like you've just done all of these massive explosions and fighting with the humans, and now we're just going to chill next door in the woods.
I mean, they were a little tired after the big, running around they did. But anyway, fair. All right, notable quotes. Let's go around the room swiftly.
I did not have many, to be honest.
I have two.
I have three.
And I'm sure they're very similar.
Yes.
My first one is, what is Caesar? So after they go to the woods, and then he sees that
when he's like another, just
I think it's a dog is on a lead.
He's like, am I a pet?
Yeah,
that's big.
What is Caesar?
Yeah.
I got take your stinking paws off me, you damn dirty ape.
Of course, but it's kudos to that because it's a direct quote from the original film.
Heston line.
Oh, is it? Yeah. Okay.
It is a very, very famous line from the original film,
and
I think they did it very, very well.
It's also a line from the Simpsons parody. Of the Planet of the Apes.
So I know that there are people out there that aren't a big fan of me and my opinions, right? And I'm sure that what I'm about to say is going to make me even less popular.
Don't make me fucking hit you.
I have never seen a full episode of The Simpsons in my entire life.
How are we friends?
I don't know.
What did you do after school?
Jerked
watch
off.
Something else. I watched a lot of Round the Twist.
Do you want to go down that road?
There's like five episodes.
One of my mates is in Round the Twist.
That's pretty cool. We'll talk about that
later.
Do you
want to look up Round the Twist again and see what happens?
Oh, I know what happens.
Let's not.
I've watched it before.
No. I mean with your computer.
Oh, no, I'm good.
No, that's what I thought.
Anyway, iconic line, and they had to have it in there.
Yeah.
Yes, they, and you know what? I think they did it really, really well. Like the situation of what it called for and the way that they did it was very, very masterful. And for me, I wasn't expecting it. Right? It came at a time when I wasn't expecting it, and it was very, very clever.
Ooh. Did you have that line too, Lily?
Yeah, it was my first line.
Okay.
My next line was when Caesar screams no.
Oh, so good.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Powerful.
The first time he screams no, that's hectic. You're up.
I've got, he's not a monkey, he's an ape.
Okay.
Which is the title of being line. Just because, it's the typical, kind of a monkey. It's not a monkey, it's an ape. It's like...
Is that like animal? Is that like animal racism?
I think it is.
Yeah.
How dare they? My second and third one go together. When it's Caesar is home, and then Will goes go.
Yeah.
I think that's sweet.
My last one was Caesar is home.
Fair. All right.
It's not a very quotable movie.
No, it's not.
No,
it's okay.
Half the cast are apes, so yeah.
True.
But with like
a quote is ooh, ooh,
and I mentioned it before, but I really, you know, it's not so much a quote per se, but it's obviously the conversation that him and Maurice have is very good as well.
Yeah. All right. Random fun facts and extras. Let's go rapid fire around the room. Nominated.
No, you go.
Nominated for Best Visual Effects Oscar and did not win.
Shame. I'm going to just do my two because I've only got two. It was originally meant to be Will's wife that has Alzheimer's, not his dad, and they changed that. And Shia LaBeouf and Tobey Maguire were up for Will's part.
Yeah, can you imagine Tobey Maguire in this film? Because that'd be weird, right?
I kind of can.
And he's really good friends with James Franco. So. Yeah.
There's homage to Charlton Heston. So they've paid homage to Charlton Heston throughout the film, but the big way that they did it was is that when the guys are actually in the sanctuary and if you see the TV playing in the background, it's actually playing where the agony and the ecstasy is playing, and Charlton Heston's part of that, or he's in that movie. So it was their little nod to Charlton Heston.
Okay. I had the two that Josie said, but one of the ones I got is the Golden Gate Bridge sequence that they filmed was actually done on a 400-foot set. Which was the largest set in the film history up until that time.
Yeah,
what would they do with that after that?
400 feet, man. That is huge.
That's huge. Yeah. That's a lot of money spent.
I guess I could put it somewhere.
Do you reckon 400 feet would take about 200 people to do?
Mm-hmm. I'm just not.
You absolute idiot, Lee.
We need to get this pod finished, honestly.
Any others, Lee?
Yeah. Sorry. When the apes climb the tree to escape the dome, they form a double helix in the shape of the DNA and the Genesis logo.
I reckon that was really cool.
All of the apes were 100% CGI. They did not use a single real-life ape in this movie.
Yeah, wow. And you know what? You mentioned before that it didn't win the Oscar for
visuals,
yeah. Which is surprising because it'd be interesting to see what did beat it out. Just because obviously, you know, that was incredible for what it was.
Yeah, I wonder how long it took them to put the...
Especially considering it's 12 years ago, right? Yeah. So I don't know if you know this or not, but obviously Andy Serkis was doing a lot of motion capture back then. Mm-hmm. Was he doing motion capture for this?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yep.
There you go.
Yeah, that's how he did Caesar.
I remember he was actually doing a talk show. It was with Graham Norton, and he actually, part of it was actually him talking about how he actually had to walk as an ape and how he actually had to learn how to walk on his knuckles.
Wow.
Yeah, it's this whole
thing. Yeah, he commits. So he did the same thing with Gollum.
Yeah.
Ooh,
similar.
His
back
must hurt.
A movie called Hugo won Best Special
Effects.
Oh, yeah.
I know what you're talking about.
Okay. All right, shall we see scores?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's go scores. Josie?
In total, it was 2.5. I really thought it would be more.
Mm. Savage.
I know, but I think it's because of my appeal.
Yeah, okay. I went 3.5, and I feel like I may have shortchanged it, but 3.5 is what I got.
You know what's interesting? I feel like I oversold it. I got 4.5.
Oh.
It's a 4, which I'm surprised. I didn't think it was that high for
me. But you're a fan of the apes.
Yeah, I don't mind the movie, right? Like, I think it's a good movie, but I didn't think it's 4.5.
I thought I'd give it higher. But
I mean, I would have, I'd watch.
So we've got 2.5, 3.5, 4.5. It's in a
sequence,
pew, pew, pew. Ascending order.
Yeah, I'd probably find myself rewatching City Slickers more than.
Why the fuck do you always bring that movie up, Lee? God damn it.
Just because I can't believe it, honestly, got a 4.
I feel like we need to upload a bingo card to our socials and people need to cross it off and get drunk or something.
That's true. So what does that total leave?
So the total for all of us gives us a 10.5 out of 15.
That's not too bad.
Yep.
Yeah, okay. And what did IMDb give?
IMDb has 7.6. We have given it a 70%.
Okay, so IMDb is a little bit more.
We're pretty close.
Yep.
Not bad.
So I think we needed to be nope.
So if Josie gave it a 3, we would have been.
So we needed to be, we needed 2 more .5s, or we needed one more point to be on par.
Okay.
Okay.
So basically where it boils down to is you guys both zeroed out appeal if you'd given it a .5 instead of a 1, so you guys fucked it.
I was going to blame Josie in entirety. Like,
I'm used to it. That's fair. Yeah.
You know what? You can't blame Josie. It wasn't her pick.
No, it wasn't. But tell you what, it was our first
ever. Thank you, Nick.
Yeah, Nick.
It was a good discussion to have.
I hope you've enjoyed this this conversation about the movie that you picked. Nick Opaluski, who hit us up on Facebook, he wanted us to talk about The Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
Yeah, and I know that we went ape shit over it.
Oh, fucking hell, Lee. You and your shit jokes.
You've been asking for it
play
all
the
night.
End music, Adam. Yeah, play the
but
end music.
Big thanks to Nick, and we appreciate his input and asking us to review a movie, which he did. If there's a movie that you would like us to talk about, hit us up. It has taken us many months. It may take us many months for us to sort out another one. But
yeah,
that's
a fair assessment.
Notwithstanding, we'll probably get to it. But until next time, look us up on the socials at 2GagPod. My name is Adam.
I'm Josie.
And I'm Lee.
And this has been Two Guys, a Girl, and a Movie Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. And thank you, Nick.
Thanks, Nick.
Bye, Nick.